fast, or I'm setting my timer. One of the most wonderful privileges that a Christian has is to have the opportunity to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with his brethren and to express to them, as only they can understand, the level of gratefulness that exists in the heart of us as believers, knowing our position in Christ. Amen. And so it is for that reason that I invite you this morning, this afternoon, to open your Bibles to the book of Romans and go to chapter 5, and we're going to do verses 6 through 11. And Pastor, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for granting me the privilege of being in front of our congregation and sharing the gospel this afternoon. Thank you very much. You guys there, say amen. Alrighty, so guys, I will tell you this. One of the worst things that you can do to me, knowing how much I love the Word of God, is to put time constraints on me. Because today, when I show my wife my sermon for today, she says, "Are you even going to be able to see that?" Number one. But that was the least of my concerns when I asked the pastor, "Pastor, how long do I have?" And he said, "Book it in 20 minutes, man. 20 minutes. So I'm going to do the best that I can to be obedient to our pastor while at the same time doing right by scripture and making sure that we cover all of our bases. Okay, so let's go ahead and get on to business and let's get started. Word of God reads this way. Would you please stand and honor the Word of God? Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11 starts like this. It says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die." But here's where it gets even better. "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And he goes on to even greater things, because he says, "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him," that is Jesus. And 10 says, "For while we were enemies of God, that is, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, even more, having been reconciled, we will also be saved by his life." And 11 closes this way and says, "And not only this," as if it wasn't enough already, "we have also exulted in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." May you be seated, and may God bless his word. So let us go ahead and get started. Verse 6 says to us that while we were helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So pay very close attention to this, and pay very close attention to our condition before we came to Christ. The Bible says that we were helpless. Your version may also say that we were weak. It is a state in a condition of utter helplessness. That means that there is absolutely nothing that we could have done in any way, shape, or form to better or improve our condition without the work that Christ was about to do for us. We were utterly lost. The Bible says that we were separated from Christ, having no hope and without God in this world. That is the type of condition that you and I were before we were called to salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't get any worse than that. Do you agree with me? But listen to this also. But it says that despite the condition that we were in, the Bible proclaims that at the right time, at the right time, that is a time that God had predestined, a time that God had appointed, a time that God had set aside in the history of this world by which he would send his son into the world, break into history, an actual historical event in which he would do in order to reconcile these helpless people to himself, the one from the past, the one from the present, and the ones to come in the future are reconciled by the work that the Lord God has done. Amen. But not only that, it tells us that we were ungodly, that at the right time God saved us, and the way that he did that is by sending his son to die for the what? The ungodly. We were ungodly. The dictionary defines ungodly as vile. It defines the ungodless as wicked. It defines the ungodless as the worst of the worst. So, in case we're mistaken in our understanding of what the Bible is proclaiming, at the right time, God sent his son to die for us who were worthless. Are you following me? The Bible proclaims that God at the right time had pity on us who were his enemies, as we read before and after. And he died for us. His son died for us at the right time. And God moves on. And he gives us an example. Because you may be wondering in there, maybe I am not as bad as Brother Juan is saying that we were. You know, the Bible doesn't make any distinction between the ones that are worse bad, medium rare bad, or medium high, not so bad. The Bible says that we were all sinners and we were all wicked, and therefore we were all cut off from the glory of God and destined to condemnation, and recipients we were of the wrath of God. That's who we were. And so the scripture tells us right here, it gives us a clear example. It says, because human beings and your own level of righteousness and goodness, you would say, perhaps someone would die for one that you yourself call just, a righteous man. I don't know. The word of God says, perhaps one of you would die for one that you call a good man. A righteous man being perhaps one among us that is ethical, that is good in our eyes, that does the right thing in our eyes, that doesn't compromise and always, always acts in accordance to what is expected of him. That is a righteous man. The Bible says, perhaps for one of those, one of you would die. It says, I don't know, if not for that, then maybe for one that you call good, one that is kind, one that expresses love, one that is humble, one that exemplifies perhaps the best of what you have to offer. Perhaps for one of those, someone would die. But it juxtaposes just that with the following verse, which is the key of our message, where in verse 8 it says, but God. You see, there is your goodness and there is God's goodness, because it says that God demonstrated his own love towards us, and that while we were vile sinners, Christ died for us. You see the contradiction there? Make no mistake, the Bible is telling us over here that the love of God that our pastor just told us about, that we need to be grateful for, was one that God demonstrated to us. It wasn't just words. When God says he loved humanity, he demonstrated that he loved humanity by giving us his most precious possession, his only begotten son. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that anyone, whosoever believeth in him, may not perish but have everlasting life. That is how much God loves the world. And not only that, he demonstrated it to the fullest. Not giving us a second best, not giving us his third best, but giving us his very best in the life of his son. That's how he demonstrates it. But not only that, beloved, he demonstrates that, but he tells us that he does that because of his very own love. Where does this love of God comes from? This is a pure love. not love in the way that we know it sometimes to be conditional in our state, right? You love me if I love you. You do right by me and I stand by you. Sometimes we put those conditions in our relationships and then we call it love. But the highest expression of love perhaps may be that a mother, that a father has for their own children, willing to die for them. But even then, it's a faulty kind of love. But God's love is perfect. You know why? Because the very essence of God is love. I've told my class a thousand times, that the Bible says in 1 John that we really don't know what is love. That if we want to know what love is, God demonstrates that by giving us his own son. Love, the Bible says in 1 John, is God giving his son to die for our sins. That is the essence of love. You see, so this love that God demonstrates for sinners, he demonstrates it in giving his own son, but he also demonstrates that because it emanates from his very own being. But look how more beautiful it gets, because it says in here that the object of God's love is us. Does it move you? Because he moves me. To think that I was separated from God, that I was ungodly, that I was vile, that I was wicked, that I did not merit his love, and yet he loved me. That is the essence of love. I was his enemy, and yet he loved me. I was worthless, and yet he gave his son for me. That is the essence of love. We, humanity, are the object of God's love. Isn't that wonderful? And it gets even better, because look at 9. Look at 9. It says, even much more then, having now we, being justified by his blood, that is the blood of Jesus, we shall be saved through, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. So he tells us that the work of Christ on our behalf is efficient. The love of God through Jesus Christ and his work on the cross for us is efficient. Something efficient is something that fulfills the task that it is set to do. The work of Christ is sufficient to do what? To justify us by the spilling, the shedding of his blood. But not only that, in justifying us, what is justifying? It is forgiving us. It is making us right, who were not right, making us right by the death of his son, the shedding of his blood, not the blood of bulls, right? Or goats, but the blood of the only begotten Son of God is effective to be able to justify us sinners and to bring us into good graces with God. But hold on just a minute. As I think that we ought to do due diligence as we read the scripture, do you see what it saves us from too, though? Not only are we justified, we being unrighteous are now made righteous by the work of Christ and the shedding of his blood, but it says in here that it has the side effect of also sparing us from the wrath of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, you and I, if we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God has been spared from us. Ain't that amazing? Undeserving people. Guys, we should be standing and praising God. We should be, right? For these worthless people have been brought near, those who were afar have been brought near by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and the love of God acting through him. And it gets even better. Look at number 10. So, for if while we were enemies, of whom? Of whom? Talk to me. Of God. For while we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to him, to God, through the death of his son, much more then, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Isn't that wonderful? You know, if you thought that the death of Christ was so powerful and wonderful enough to save you from the wrath of God, his resurrection and him being alive is able to keep us within the love of God. So not only was his death powerful, but his life is even more powerful because he lives forevermore. Isn't that amazing? You know, you remember that hymn that says, because he lives, I can what? Face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know that he holds the future. The Lord Christ is alive and our future is secure in his hand because he lives. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? To know that our Christ, our Savior, did not remain in the tomb, but that he rose. You see, through his death, we are justified. Through his resurrection, we are made alive. We die with Christ, we're raised with Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, right? Isn't that wonderful? And guys, there's so much more we can say about that. We just don't have time. We just don't have time. Because it gets even better. Look at 11. 11 says, and not only this, as if it wasn't enough already. How many times is Paul going to say, we got blessing upon blessing upon blessing? Isn't that wonderful? You know, because Paul says, and even more, and even more, and even more. So what's the even more? The even more says, and not only this, as if it wasn't enough, but it says, what we also exalt in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We who were enemies of God are now enjoying, as the pastor said, friendship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by which we can cry out and say what? Abba, Father. We can call him our daddy. Isn't that amazing? We read at Melody in class the other day, see what a great love the Father has bestowed upon us that we may be called what? The children of God. That is yours and my position if you are in Christ tonight. And this is what Christ offers. And this is what the world cannot offer. And no religion in the world will be able to offer you this. Peace and reconciliation with Christ through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. For whosoever will call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and for all eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. So brothers and sisters, why are we gathered here today? We're gathered here today to celebrate the fact that Jesus completed the work that was assigned to him by the Father in order that we may be reconciled to God. And so as we prepare to receive the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in a symbolic way, so that we may be able to be transported into remembering what he did for us, I ask anyone in the midst of us today that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, as Mitchell and I love saying all the time, today is the day of salvation. If you hear the word of the Lord and the Spirit of God knocking at your heart, telling you, do not harden your heart, but respond to the message of the gospel, today be saved. Today be saved. Our ministers will be here in the front at the appropriate time. And if the message that the pastor gave us and the passage of scripture that we have expounded upon today in this short time has spoken to your heart, I will tell you, I stand before you redeemed. I am not a perfect man by far. I got many faults. I got many things with which I struggle. But I am sure of one thing, and that is the fact that my Savior saved me when I was 16 years old, and I have never looked back since then. And I'm anxiously, anxiously awaiting his return. As the Lord was taken into heaven, his disciples were staring into the heavens as he was taken up. And the angel said, "Man, what are you doing looking up? This very same Jesus that was taken from you, he will return in like form." And later on in Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul reminds the church that when he returns, the death in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us who are alive will be caught up, and we'll go and receive the Lord in the sky, and we will forever be with the Lord. And Paul says, encourage one another with these words. Gospel is a beautiful thing. Being saved is a beautiful thing. Celebrating the Lord's Supper is a beautiful thing, because every time the church of God comes together to celebrate this, we're remembering what he did on our behalf. Amen. So if the Lord has spoken to your heart today, don't harden your heart. But when the time is proper and when the invitation is extended, please come forward and be reconciled to God, so that one day, pretty soon after you're baptized, you may be able to partake with us and celebrate with us the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. Would you close your eyes, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your kindness. Father, I thank you for the love that you have bestowed upon your people. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his work. I thank you for his life. I thank you for his death on my behalf, on our behalf. I thank you, Father, that you did not leave him in the tomb, but that 3 days later you brought him back to life. I thank you, O precious Lord, for the position that each and every one of your children have, to be able to call you Father and to have the assurance and the fixed hope on our Lord Jesus Christ, that upon his return, while we are on the ground or while we are alive, we'll be taken up to him, and we will forever and ever be with him, as we will exult in happiness, O precious Lord, as we sing around your throne the great salvation that you have bestowed upon us. For it is in his name and in your name that we pray. Amen.